Hey, welcome back. We're super excited again to have Dr. George Robinson with us as he takes us from the ivory tower into the street. So, George, what you got for us this week?
Yeah, so this season we're focusing in on what it means to live like a missionary, and we're drawing from the International Mission Board's concept of the core missionary task. It's really a biblical concept,
right,
that if you're going to live like a missionary, you've got to have an entry strategy, and then you've got to have an evangelism strategy, a disciple-making strategy, a gathering strategy, leadership, partnership, and development, and then exit.
Yeah.
And so this week, we're talking about another evangelism strategy. Last
Great.
Time, we talked through sharing your story. This week, we're going to talk through sharing God's story.
Okay.
Yeah, so when I lived in South Asia and have worked all over South Asia, in all of those different locations, the evangelism training that I got back here in the States and even when I was in seminary didn't play out too well in those contexts. It wasn't contextually relevant. And, you know, a lot of times the evangelism tools that we use make assumptions
right.
that you can't necessarily carry across cultures. And so one of the things that I found out was I could not start a conversation by saying, hey, Jesus loves you or God loves you.
Right.
It really didn't make sense to people, especially in the Islamic context where they did not believe that Jesus was actually crucified. So
right.
what I had to do is I had to put the cross of Christ in the context of the whole storyline of Scripture. Now, it's not a new concept to talk through chronological Bible storying. There are
yep.
a lot of people who've written extensively on that, and we talk through story sets. But what I want to train students to do is to share God's story in a relevant way in a rather short and simple, reproducible format. And so I use 10 points of the story in order to communicate that. And
okay.
so we tell the story of creation, and the three things that I want to emphasize in the story of creation is God,
mm-hmm.
creation, and harmony. The story begins with God,
mm-hmm.
and the Bible tells us that God is good and that God is all-powerful and all of these different character traits. I want to lay out the character of God, and then I want to talk about how God created everything mm-hmm. for a purpose. And that purpose was that it would that everything would flourish and be in right relationship to Him, and He culminated His creation by making man and woman in His image to steward
right.
God's creation through worship and obedience.
Okay.
And then the third part of that is harmony.
Mm-hmm.
When everything is in right relationship to God, then everything is harmonious. And so that leads us to the question: if that's the true story of the whole world, then what went wrong?
Yeah, what's broken?
And so the next aspect of that is telling the story of the fall, mm. and there are three points to that. Disobedience, consequence, and need.
Mm.
And so disobedience, we think about how God gave one command, one prohibition to the man and the woman there in mm. Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis chapter 3, we find them disobeying that one command.
Right.
Disobedience always has a consequence, and I think through there in Genesis 3 how the man and the woman, even before God comes into the garden in order to expose their sin, they're already covering their nakedness with fig leaves. And I talk about how fig leaves are like modern-day religion,
yeah.
like man-made religion, that we try to fix ourselves, try to cover up what we've done wrong, but we know something's wrong. That's a consequence.
Mm.
And God gives those consequences to the man and the woman by giving a curse not only to them, but also to the whole earth through them.
Yeah.
And then that leads us in a place of desperate need. We can't fix ourselves. So far we've got creation, that's God, creation, harmony.
Right.
Then the fall, that's disobedience, consequence, and need.
Right.
And then the next part of the story is the rescue.
Hmm.
And so with that, we've only got 2 points. God's promise made and God's promise kept.
Right.
And so the promise made is the rest of the Old Testament from Genesis 3:15 onward is a long, detailed answer to a very short and simple question. Who is the promised rescuer?
That's great.
Because God comes in and says, I'm going to send someone who's going to crush the head of the serpent. He's going to strike his heel, but his head will be crushed. And so that promise unfolds through the whole Old Testament. And then the second part, God's promise kept, Matthew comes onto the scene after 400 years of intertestamental silence.
Right.
And Matthew said, here he is.
There he is.
This is the one. And so promise made and promise kept. And then the answer to put all of this in context is, what does the future hold?
Right.
If God's the kind of God who keeps his promises, then what does the future hold? Well, there's really two different directions one can go. One can live in right relationship to God through faith in Jesus Christ, or one can live on their own autonomously, but they're living under condemnation and suffering for eternity future. And so the last two points are all things new and forever with God. God is making all things new. The kingdom is already and not yet. We talk about inaugurated eschatology, right? Things are happening that are kingdom-oriented things here and now, but it's not yet come in its fullness. But all of the point of the storyline of Scripture, God's story, is because we were made to be with God. And so that's where we want to point people, put the cross at the center of the whole storyline of Scripture, and talk about how we were made in the beginning to be with God, and we have the opportunity in the future to be with God, and the key is being in right relationship to God through the gospel.
What a great way to summarize the whole story of God. The biblical story gives us a handle, an easy way to think through that. What a great strategy. Thanks for being here and talking to us about that.
Yeah, you bet.
So next time you pick up your Bible, just look and ask yourself, where am I in the story of God, and how does this connect with everything that's going on? So we appreciate that. Thanks a ton, George.
You bet.